let's just ask the Lord to be with us. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for our worship so far. We thank you that you can be here in our midst. And we do ask, Lord, that you will open our hearts to you this morning, particularly for this message. And please bless me as I bring the word to the people here. And may we have a clear understanding of this part of Scripture. As we look at Daniel chapter 11 and chapter 12, may, Lord, we have knowledge of the future and excitement for your soon return. In the name of Jesus we ask it. Amen. Amen. So this is part three of a four-part presentation that I'm bringing to you. The first one was just before the Brexit vote last year, if you remember. We talked about voting, and in fact the fourth presentation will be about democracy and whether Christians should vote or not. So we're going to sort of finish almost back where we started. But what I'm going to do for the first few slides, under the heading here we've got the King of the North versus the King of the South. Now that's where we got to last time. We're looking at Daniel chapter 11 this time, where it talks about the King of the North and the King of the South. Well, what is that? Is it important for us to know? I think it is. I think if we understand very clearly what the first part of Daniel is all about, then we ought to know a little bit about what this last part of Daniel is about. Because let's face it, Daniel chapter 12 is the second coming. So what happens just before the second coming? And remember, this book was written, in fact, the first prophecy was written in Daniel chapter 2, nearly 600 years before Christ. So, fantastic. Now, I've put these up just as a little reminder of what we've studied so far. So, we've looked at Daniel chapter 2, 36 to 45. And it says there about Babylon, it's the huge empire that was characterized by the thousands of golden images and revered by her citizens. And it seemed indestructible. And that represented a gold head, didn't it, that Nebuchadnezzar had seen in his dream. And then he saw a body of silver. And that represented the Persians that took over. Then he saw Greece that came, and the center part around here was a bronze color that represented Greece, and then finally Rome with the iron legs, and the very final part was the iron feet. Yeah. So the iron clay feet representing modern nations of Europe where we are today. And what happens? Well, Babylon continues throughout history. Babylon is described, the second message I brought to you was about the two beasts, and there's the second one. They look so similar to each other, don't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah, in their architecture, and all sorts of pagan imagery all surrounding the modern Babylon of today. So we know this story quite well. I'm not going to go into great detail about that now because we want to move on, but suffice to say that everything that the Bible talked about in chapter 2 of Daniel and subsequent chapters has absolutely come true. And it means that you can trust the Bible 100%. We're not looking forwards to this, we're looking back at this, and we can say that this has all happened. Where are we now? We're right just before Jesus comes back in chapter 12. We are, in fact, in chapter 11 of Daniel. So if you want to know a little bit more, then read it yourself. But it can be a little bit confusing. So what I've done today is just given a very brief overview, and I'm going to let Pastor Doug Batchelor do the sermon. And so in a moment we'll listen to Pastor Doug Batchelor speak for just under 25 minutes and tell us about chapter 11 and what's happening in the world. Okay, so just to remind us then of what happens in Revelation chapter 12, it reminds us that there's a great boulder that comes down. It says, then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone, threw it into the sea, and said, with such violence, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be again. We know that to be that second coming as Jesus returns. And all of that stuff, that gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron and clay fit, it all disappears. And the Lord's kingdom fills the earth. And we're ultimately a new earth created and so on. We're looking so much for that day. But we're not there yet. And we are living in exciting times. Daniel chapter 12 says this, and I've highlighted in red, because this is following on directly from what has been said in chapter 11, which we'll look at in more depth. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, Michael's another name for Jesus, there will be a great time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. We are not in that time of distress just yet. Some people call it the time of trouble. So we are not in that time just yet. We are about to enter that time. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. Yes. Some to everlasting life, others to everlasting shame and contempt. And then again, something very special to note in this first part of chapter 12. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever. You know, sometimes we wonder why we have to go through times of trouble. And I believe that this is what the Lord is saying here. It is precisely so that we can shine in a very dark place. And the world is a dark place. And it's going to get worse before it gets any better. But it says those who are wise, those who are connected to the Lord, will shine like the brightness of the heavens. All that's to come. So what about this time of trouble then? Are we about to live through it? And could we be the generation that sees our Lord return? And we don't know that for certain, do we? But what the Lord does is he gives us lots of little pointers. He says, you know, when you see this happening and when you see that happening, know that the time is near, even at the doors. So you read Matthew 24, all about those things. And 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about the condition of the way that people behave at the time when the Lord comes back. So we've got lots of clues to know that we're living in that time. Make no mistake, we are in a spiritual war, and it will continue to spill over into physical violence as well. And we're going to see it, and we do see it every day in the news, what's going on around, and the way people treat each other, and the way nations treat each other. And it's pretty awful. I'm just thankful that it's not going to last forever. The Bible tells us a story about two sons, and this is where we want to think about chapter 11. One the result of Abraham's own works, and the other a child of faith. Both form great nations and religions. So it's actually quite a simple thing to understand, really. When you think about the whole of Earth's history, and from a biblical perspective, we've had these two sons, one of them Ishmael, and the other one Isaac. Isaac, you might remember, was the child of faith, and born in their old age, when Sarah certainly couldn't have children anymore, so a miracle child. And these two are depicted. Conflict between these two sons, or kings, if you will, has resulted in the divided world we see today, with countries poised for this showdown. So the king of the north and the king of the south is talking about the war between these two sons. Judaism and Christianity, and the king of the south being Islam. Once you understand that, it's actually quite an easy part of the Bible to understand. And it traces wars that have gone on throughout history, including the Crusades, this constant fight between Islam and Christianity. Okay. Do we understand this so far? All right then. Just to show you on the map, I thought this was quite useful. Everything in the Bible is taken from the perspective of Jerusalem, So when he talks about the king of the north, he talks about the powers that come in from the north. You see here highlighted in blue is the Jewish world, Jerusalem. And so whenever Jerusalem was attacked, it would happen from the north or from the south. And there are really two directions you could come from, because to the east of Israel was desert, and of course to the west was the sea. So most armies marching in would either come from the north or from the south. And so we read about these conflicts throughout the whole of Bible history. But you can see the world as it stands today, certainly as far as our continents are concerned, is in the orange there is the Christian world, and in the green the Islamic world. Basically a north-south divide. So that helps you understand it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Lots and lots of things have been happening over the last few years. Since September 2001, we see how the warfare between these two have been really taken on quite a march. So you've got a situation like this where you've got Capitol Hill and all these Muslims praying outside. What are they doing? They're trying to win over the Christian world, perhaps? Outside Westminster as well. This is happening all over. So is this though? Yeah. This was when the war first began after September 2001, which was that catalyst for the final war, I believe. And you know, you're just about seeing the banner there, Bush, Blair, and the Pope. You know, that's right when this began, and it's still continuing now, isn't it? But that this is what they believe. But of course, Christians and Muslims praying together. And Putin meeting the Pope. They're all involved. The Pope went to speak at Congress in America. That's never happened before. And the President went to see the Pope. Several of them have done that. But if you don't think anything is happening in the world, you're mistaken, because this spiritual war is going on, and it's coming out in a physical battle as well, including our Queen going to visit the Pope. And on it goes. So somewhere in amongst all of these conflicts are God's true people, not represented by any religion, because these religions, these two things that are fighting against each other, are actually both false. And it's something to lead the world astray. But we have the beast, this image, and we have Islam, and they're all together really doing the same thing. So we're going to listen to someone who really knows a lot more about it than I do. So Doug Batchelor, brilliant speaker, and he's going to talk, say, just for about 25 minutes and give us an idea of what's going on in the world, where we are right now. I think he's given a very clear understanding. It's just compartmentalize what he said. We've got the Islamic faith and we've got Christianity. But what's happening is that Christianity, all the different parts of Christianity, are trying to come together so that they can show strength. And the time of trouble for us isn't going to be whether we've got food on the table or the rest of it. It may well be trouble, but it's going to be the temptation to join with all the Christians who are fighting against an overwhelming force that is Islam. He showed you the stats that prediction, you know, 73% growth by 2050, at least parity with Christians, probably outnumbering. You know, simple fact is they have many more children than the Christian West does. So, you know, just sheer numbers, all born into the faith, we're reaching a tipping point where there will be more Muslims in the world than Christians, quite probably. It will seem very natural to want to meet with other churches and form as big a body of Christians as we possibly can. But as you've just seen, that larger body of Christians is not following the word of God. and to unify just to be a club and say we're all in this together is no unity at all. The body of Christ is not these religions. The body of Christ is every individual Christian that truly believes. It is not a denomination. It is not joining the Catholic Church or even Seventh-day Adventist Church. It is about being a Christian close to God as his body. So while we can, we'll continue to meet together as we do. But the warning for me to you would be, watch what's going on in the world. Don't be tempted to join large groups just because it seems that that's the way God wants it to go, because he doesn't want it to go that way. These two groups actually end up fighting each other. True Christians won't be part of that.